We're going to look today at the word all. It has nothing to do with laundry detergent. We learned, at least I learned, and most of you learned, that the word all throughout the Bible, which can also be used concerning the word every. And when we read these words, we must recognize that they can mean all, meaning they are all-inclusive, there's no exceptions to it, or all can be specific. It can be with distinction. You know, it's for a certain, in the context, it's talking about something specific. So we're going to go in Romans chapter 3, in verse 21. So whenever you read the word all or every, you have to keep these things in mind and you have to read the context. So in verse 21, it says, "But now the righteousness of God," or the justness of God without the law, "is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith," or believing, "of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." The righteousness of God is to all who believe, a specific group. It's to those that believe, those that are born again. it's the righteousness of God to all of us that believe in Jesus Christ, for there is no difference. And then it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And the all there is all-inclusive of every human being that's ever born, right? All have sinned. Everybody that's ever been born in this world from Adam on is born in sin or has sin nature, and they sin. The result of that sin nature is they commit sins, which simply means miss the mark, right? And there's all kinds of sins, but we believe that all sins are, you know, the same in their, you know, sin is sin. There's not misdemeanors and there's not capital sins. They're all sins. They're all capital. So, but God has covered us because he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Let's go to chapter 1. chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints." So who does this all refer to? Tells you right in the verse, right? The first key to the word's interpretation, right in the verse. And it says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints." So it's to those born-again believers in Rome, specifically. Now, it's also a church epistle, and it's written to us today. So it's written to born-again believers, and that's how we read the book of Romans. Now, there are sections in Romans that deal with natural man. There are sections in Romans that deal with Israel, the circumcision. But generally speaking, the whole book is written concerning those that are born again, what God has done for the individual, how he's made us righteous, how we have access to God, how to get born again, all that stuff. So that's there. So it's to the beloved, those who have believed. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 19, a wonderful verse. It says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe?" The exceeding greatness of God's power, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. So that exceeding greatness of power to usward, according to the working of his mighty power, I could read you a note here, maybe, if I could read it. I wrote it when I had better eyesight. Mighty power is, it's two Greek words, kratos and ischus, synonyms that may be translated as strength of ability. Here, in reference to God's strength and ability to prevail. That's pretty cool, huh? So, it's according to the working of his strength and ability, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. So now, take note of verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. The word all is implied in that list of things. It says all in the beginning, but it's an ellipsis, it's an omission, but you can supply it as you read it. So it should read or could read, far above all principality and all power and all might and all dominion and every name, the word every, right? Which would be all names. That is named, not only in this word, but world, but also in that which is to come. So, you know, that strength and that right hand of God in the heavenly realm is far above every ruler, every authority, and every power, and every lordship, and every name that is named. And that those are all inclusive without exception. Jesus Christ was set above all those things, right? He has that, all that power, all that authority, all that might. He reigns, and he's in charge, and we have Christ in us. You know, when Adam sinned, he delivered up the world. When Satan or the devil tempted Jesus Christ, what did he say? He took him up on a mountaintop to show him all the kingdoms of the world and their majesty and power. And he said, this has been delivered to me, and if you worship me, I'll give them to you. And of course, what did he say? No. But Jesus Christ defeated the devil, and he's delivered that authority and power to us. And hath put all things. The word things is in italics, but it just means all, everything, under his feet. And that's an Orientalism. Throughout the Bible, well, it says, what does it say in Genesis 3:15? It says about the, we can read it. I'll read it. You can stay where you are because I don't want you to. So Jesus Christ, I mean, God said to the devil, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And it, the woman's seed, shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Meaning he's going to crush him with the bottom of his foot, right? And that's that Orientalism, and it's through the whole Word of God, and it means the total defeat and humiliation of the enemy and total authority and rule over them. That's what it means. So when it says here that he hath put all things under his feet, that God put all things under the feet of Jesus Christ, that means he has all authority and dominion, and he has already defeated the devil and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. All things to the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all people in all. You know, we're filled with all. All of the believers are filled totally. What a great thing. How neat is that? So, you know, one person doesn't get more than another, which is God's no respecter of persons, right? So we all get the same. We all are beloved of God, and we all have the same ability. He gave us the same amount, the same spirit. You know, you go through that whole thing in Ephesians, one body, you know, one spirit, one Lord, one baptism, all that. And then in chapter 1, back in verse 3, what does it say there? It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly, it's the heavenly realm in Christ. Well, aren't you glad he gave us all spiritual blessings, not some spiritual blessings or a few spiritual blessings? He gave us all. And I'm sure we don't comprehend that totally. We don't even know what all those blessings are yet. We know some of them for sure. He's blessed us with the hope. He's blessed us with righteousness and sanctification. He's blessed us with all kinds of things. But there's more to come. There's just more to come. We don't know what they all are, but they're there. Verse 8, it says, wherein he, God, hath abounded toward us in what? All wisdom and prudence. Prudence means good sense. All God's wisdom, all his good sense, he abounded toward us, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the administration of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things or all people in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. You know, he's going to gather us together, all of us, in Christ, all of those that are believe and are part of the body of Christ and those that are sanctified by God. How about that? Nobody's going to get left out. Nobody's going to, you know, a lot of Christians think that once you're born again, you could lose it.
Yeah.
Right? But you can't. That's why it's eternal life. You know, if you could lose it, it couldn't be eternal. This week in one of Earl's teachings, he made a great point. We're promised eternal life. Adam didn't have eternal life. He had indefinite life, you know, because he lost it. So he didn't have eternal life. If he'd had eternal life, he couldn't have lost it. He would have continued to live. He had the tree of life. And I guess they were allowed to partake of it, you know, because they weren't, they could eat of all the trees in the garden except for the tree of good and evil. So they could participate or partake of that tree of life and live indefinitely. But they couldn't, they didn't have eternal life. They didn't live eternally because it was upon condition. We have eternal life and it's not upon condition. How cool is that? What a great thing. So it's not indefinite for us. It's forever. Let's go to chapter 4 of Ephesians. Chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body. You there? Chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Who's he Father of all of? Right? Those he's the Father of. Those that are born of his spirit, his children. He's not Father of everybody, but he's the Father of those that believe in him and have been born again of his spirit. One Father of all who is above all. He is above all without exception because he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. And through all and in you all, in us, right? It's God in Christ in us. But unto every man, every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And every one of us is those that are born again. And we have the measure of Christ. You know, people talk about being spiritual, but you can't be spiritual if you don't have spirit, can you? As hard as you may try. And, you know, people will try to act spiritual. Yeah. All these guys in the Eastern religions, you know, they'll try to be so deep and so spiritual, but they're not, because they don't have spirit, or they don't have Holy Spirit. They may be spiritual in another way, but not spiritual in the right way, God's way. So it's one God and Father of all who are his children above all, above everything in context, the born-again believers through all, us again and in you is actually omitted. So let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." Weary means cowardly. You know, we're not to be cowardly in well-doing. And when you're well-doing, you're doing God's will. You know, when you're doing according to God's word and according to his will, you're doing well. "For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity." Opportunity means when the season is right, at the right time. "As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all." Men is in italics, but I guess you could put it in there. And that means all without exception. We're to do good to everybody. You know, we're not to be respecter of persons. We're imitators of God, right? So we're to do good unto all, but then it says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, meaning other believers, those in the fellowship. We're to be good to everyone, but we're to be especially good to our brothers and sisters in Christ. What a great thing. Do good unto all without exception, but specifically unto them we are to be especially good. Let's go to chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 9 is concerning giving and receiving, right? Abundant sharing. And it says in verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." And of course, you know, this is written in the first century, and the major form of earning a living was agriculture. I mean, there were certainly merchants and people that did stuff like that and trade and stuff, but the 90% of the people were farmers. Right? Or herders. You know, they made their living off the land. So to them, this made a lot of sense. If you sow sparingly, if you only put so much seed in the ground, you're only going to get so much fruit. And if you plant more, you get more. Makes sense. "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." And then verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you." How much grace?
All
grace. And grace in the context is, you know, supplying your need materially. "That ye always," that goes along with all, always means all the time, right? All the time. "That you always, having all sufficiency," what's all sufficiency? Wow. Means you have what you need. What you have what you need when you need it. Mm-hmm. Oh. And it says, having all sufficiency in all. All what? Well, it says things. So, you know, in whatever category you have a need. Whatever category that is, you have need. So it doesn't necessarily, that doesn't mean necessarily financial things, does it? Or material things. But whatever you need, God will supply it. All the time. That you may abound to every good work. Meaning, serving God, serving Jesus Christ. You may abound to every good work. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to close here. And this is kind of interesting because it's kind of, it works the opposite way too. Excludes, you know, sometimes you can exclude a whole class of things or whatever. So here in chapter 5, chapter 8, verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then it says, shall tribulation or affliction is what tribulation means. Or distress, which is calamity. Or persecution, which means, you know, you're being chased or hounded or harassed. Or famine, you know, hunger. Or nakedness, not having enough clothes. Or danger. Or war. Or, you know, physical violence. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. All day long we're in danger of these things. We're getting assaulted by these things. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, devil spirits, nor powers, rulers, nor things present, nor things to come in the future. Things now or, you know, in the future. Nor height, as high as you could go. Nor depth, as low as you could go. Nor any other creature, any other created being. Which, you know, takes in a lot of territory. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, you know, God doesn't leave anything to chance. We're all loved. We're all his children. He's given us all that he has. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings. We all have this, the measure of Christ. And we're his. And we can't lose it. We have that eternal life. So I just thought I'd share that. I thought it would bless you to see how magnificent and how all-encompassing God is in his love towards us. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us, for keeping us safe and watching over us. We thank you again for your comfort and your kindness and your grace. And we just thank you, God, for giving us strength and helping us so that we can help others and bless others. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.